We're talking about being traders, trading in the temporary for the eternal, trading in existence for purpose. And as the body of Christ, God has called us, God has saved us to be traders, to not live life for ourselves, but to choose to be a blessing for life, to choose to invest in people, to choose to invest in eternal things, to take everything that God has given us, to take every advantage of the resources, the time, the talents, the opportunities we have to invest in kingdom things, to invest in people so that we can invite them to Jesus. Well, if you have your Bibles today, if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 11. We've talked about trading the temporary things for the eternal things. We talked about last week where Jesus called Peter to trade in his existence as a fisherman for a purpose of being a fisher of men. And he's inviting us the same thing, to come follow him, to invest in people in such a way, to spend time with them, to go where they are, and then invite them to follow Jesus. Well, today I want us to think a little bit more about what can we trade and what has God called us to trade so that we can invite people to the truth of who Jesus is. Well, one of the things that I think we need to be willing to trade in is trade religion for relationship. Now, one of the things that the people outside the church, people that you talk with in today's society, one of the things that they are definitely against is religion. They don't like organized religion. And you've got a lot of people that grew up in church, have walked away from the church, and have walked away from organized religion, as they call it. Well, what I want us to talk about today and what I want us to think about today is Jesus didn't call us to religion. He calls us to relationship. Because religion is about the rules. The religion always comes down to, well, if you do the right things, if you keep the rules, if you do what you're supposed to, then God will be happy with you. That's where religion always winds up. It's about our effort to please God. It's about our effort to get right with God. It's about our effort to do the things that are necessary so that one day I'll get to go to heaven. That's what religion always boils down to. But Jesus came to invite us into a relationship with the one true and living God, the Creator of the universe. And that was his invitation to everyone. Come follow me. Come into relationship with me and with the Father. Today, I want us to think about, I want us to let the Holy Spirit speak into our hearts and see, am I more involved in a religion or am I pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ? There are some ways we can test that, some ways we can discover which one we're in. And today I pray that God would help us to see that. Well, if you will, stand with me. We're in Matthew chapter 11. We're going to begin in verse 27. Now, just a little bit of background about this. This is when Jesus is in the middle of his ministry and he is being confronted by the Pharisees. Now, these are the uber religious people of the day. These are the ones who have got it all together, they think. And they're confronting Jesus and they're giving Jesus a hard time. They're saying that he's doing things that are, he's blaspheming. He's not leading people to God, but leading away from him because he's not doing things like they do it. And Jesus is trying to help them and help the listeners see it's more than rules and regulation. It's all about relationship. Beginning of verse 27, Jesus says, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him." Verse 28. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Lord God, today as we come to this place and we have been reminded through song and we've lifted our hearts to you of the great work that Jesus has done on our behalf, and God, how you have made it possible for us to know you and to be adopted into your family as sons and daughters because Jesus paid our sin debt on the cross. But God, we've also been reminded we have to choose daily to live under the blessing or the curse, to live as a blessing for the sake of your kingdom, for the sake of our children, for the sake of the world, or to live for ourselves. And Lord, I pray today that we would choose to be a blessing. We would choose to trade in the rules and regulations of religion, the judgmental attitudes of religion, the hypocrisy of religion, and God, to walk in relationship with you. May you change our hearts and our minds and draw us closer to you today as we listen to your word. May your Holy Spirit speak through me. May your word speak to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I've told you this before, and I have to continually remind myself as I'm studying that meaning comes from context. Okay? Meaning comes from context, so we need to understand the context in which Jesus is saying what he's saying. He's talking to the crowds. He's talking to the everyday folks. He's been being bombarded by Pharisees, church people. He's been being bombarded and confronted by religious people that don't like what he's doing and what he's saying because it goes against everything that they have been trying to teach the people. They're concerned about the rules. And as we look at this, you've got to remember that Baptists, sometimes we get kind of legalistic and we get kind of rigid. There's other denominations today that kind of get legalistic and rigid, but we don't even compare to the Pharisees. Just to give you a little bit of an example, today, the Sunday, what we would call our Sabbath, Saturday was their Sabbath. Well, God told them to keep the Sabbath, to remember Sabbath and keep it holy in the Ten Commandments, in the law. And he said, you don't do any work on the Sabbath. You don't cook food on the Sabbath. You prepare enough ahead of time on Saturday so that you'll have leftovers on Sunday. And the whole day is supposed to be focused upon your relationship with God and being remembering what God has done for you and how he's blessed you and how he's there for you and to rejuvenate your relationship with God. That was the purpose of the Sabbath. Well, as time rocked on, rabbis and teachers of the law and men started adding rules and regulations. Well, what does it mean to keep the Sabbath holy? Well, by the time Jesus came along, the religious teachers, the Pharisees, had decided there are 5,000 rules just regarding that one day. Now, you talk about legalistic. You talk about religion. Because if you transgressed one of their rules, they considered you not in right relationship with God. You were a sinner. And you had to do penance. You had to make up for that. And so for one day of the week, when it was set aside to be holy, to be remembering about their relationship with God and to focus on their relationship with God, the men of the day had turned that into focusing on the rules and the regulations. You can do this, you can't do this. You can do this, you can't do this. You can do this, you can't do this. If you do this, you've messed up, so you got to go all the way back to point A and get right with God again, and you got to start all over. And you've got to earn God's love. You've got to earn his relationship. You've got to earn his respect. You've got to earn his blessing. So in that day, the vast majority of people had given up on their relationship with God. I can't even keep one day right. According to the rules, I can't even do part of what I'm supposed to do on the Sabbath, that one day that's set aside to be kept holy. I can't keep these 5,000 rules, so why even try? And today, that's the heart of the world for the most part when it comes to religion. When it comes to getting right with God, we've set so many rules, and not just Baptists, not just Muslims, not just Hindus and all these things, they're all focusing on the rules. Religion focuses on the rules. You've got to do this, you can't do this. You've got to do this, you can't do this. And people have just given up and said, well, I can't do it all right, so obviously I can't get right with God, so why even bother? And they've given up on religion because it's just keeping the rules. And I can't keep the rules, so I feel like a failure. So rather than feeling like a failure, I just quit worrying about it. Go on and do my own thing. See, that's the same thing that Jesus was facing, the same thing that he was combating when he comes to this passage and he tells them this. First of all, he begins with telling them who he is. All things have been given to me. In other words, I am the authority on all things. God has given me his word. God has given me what's true. He says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. Then he goes on and says, because it's been given to me by my Father, no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Now, why would he say that? Jesus is saying, God has given everything into my hands. He's given me authority over everything, even over the Sabbath. And if you read on further down, he's questioned about Sabbath rules and why isn't he keeping the rules and why don't his disciples keep the rules? Jesus said, because God's given everything under my authority. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And he says, no one knows the Father. Or no one knows the Son but the Father, and no one knows the Father but the Son. Jesus said, look, the Pharisees can try and tell you all these rules. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. He said, but what I want to do is I want to bring you into relationship. That word knows is a very important word. Jesus said, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. Now, I know a lot of people. I know a lot of you, but I don't know you like these folks know you, like this word is talking about. I know my wife better than I know any of you. Now, what's the difference? I know your name, I know your face, I may know where you work, I may be able to put connections with whose family you belong to and the connections in the church and all that kind of stuff. I can know about you. But what Jesus is saying here, this word that he says, no one knows the Son but the Father, no one knows the Father but the Son, that word is a word of intimacy. It's a word of experiential relationship. It's knowing them intimately through experience. So he's saying, look, God has given, the Father's given everything into me. I'm in authority over everything, and no one knows me intimately like the Father does. And no one knows God intimately like the Son does, like I do. And then he makes a very interesting statement. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. And all or anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him, the Father. So Jesus said, I know God intimately. God knows me intimately. And you can know God intimately too. See, Jesus said, look, I'm not here to try and help you keep the rules. I'm not here to try and make you be able to keep up with these 5,000 things. He said, I want you to know God, not the rules. He said, I came, and I'm concerned about relationship, not the rules. So he says, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. Now, it's interesting there. Because Jesus is saying, look, whoever I choose to reveal the Father to can know Him. Now, if you're a Calvinist, that's a pretty cool statement. It kind of boosts up your position that there are a few elect, that only those are the ones that God is going to save, and He knows, and He's after them. There's limited atonement. Jesus died only for the elect. If you're not elect, you're not going to know God, because Jesus don't want you to know God. It's never going to cross your mind. And the reason it doesn't cross your mind is because God doesn't want you to know Him. So when Jesus said, and anyone that the Son wills to reveal Him. Anyone that the Son desires to know God. So is Jesus a Calvinist? Is He saying there's only a few people that I want to know Him? Isn't that what He said? And anyone who the Son wills to reveal Him to? Well, let's look at the next passage and it gives us an explanation. Come to me, all. Come to me, all. Jesus said, my desire, the ones that I will to reveal Him to, is all. He said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's talking to a group of people who are struggling under the weight of religion. They're supposed to keep the rules, but they can't keep the rules. They're getting discouraged because they can't keep the rules. They can't live up to the expectation of these Pharisees. And the Pharisees have made themselves the standard. If you've got to live like us, you've got to think like us, you've got to do like us in order to be right with God. Now, I'm just here to tell you, there's a lot of Baptists that feel that way. You've got to measure up to us Baptists. You got to measure up to us church folks. If you don't talk like us, walk like us, think like us, smell like us, do like us, then you just can't be right with God. It's a religion at that point. You're not keeping the rules, so you're not welcome here. But Jesus said, no one knows the Son but the Father, and no one knows the Father but the Son, and to everyone whom He wills to reveal it. And He wills to reveal it to all who will come. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Now, in context, He's not talking about just troubles in life. He's not just talking about, now the principle is we can bring our troubles to God, and yes, absolutely, we can apply that. But in context, what He's talking about here is those who are tired of trying to live up to the rules. Because the Pharisees had weighed the people down with so many rules and regulations, so many do's and don'ts, that they were discouraged and they couldn't do it. They were weighted down with religion and they were throwing up their hands and quitting. Literally what He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, all who are burdened to the point of exhaustion. I'm tired of trying to keep the rules. I'm tired of trying to do right and messing up. I'm tired of trying to live up to somebody else's expectation. I'm tired of trying to be good because I can't be good all the time and I keep messing up. So why even try? I'm tired. These rules and regulations are wearing me out and I just can't keep them. Jesus says, come to me. Because I'm not about rules and regulations, I'm about relationship. I want to introduce you to the God who loves you enough to send me to die for you. I want to introduce you to the one who loves you enough to forgive you of your sins and to make you right with Him. I want to introduce you to the one who loves you enough that is eventually going to send His Holy Spirit to live in you, to teach you, to guide you, to transform you, to give you the power and the strength to live out your faith. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. So who is it that Jesus wants to introduce to God through a relationship, through His death? Who is it that Jesus is calling to come? All who just want to know God. If you want to be right with God, if you want to know God, if you want to live with God, if you want God to be your Father, you come to me. Because why? Verse 29. I'll give you rest from rules and regulation. I'll introduce you to relationship. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Look what he says there in 29. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now, back in this day, they were farmers. It was an agrarian society, and everybody knew what a yoke was. A yoke was a piece of wood that they would strap on the necks of oxen or donkeys to pull a load. And you'd have one that you'd put on the right side, one on the left side. They would be connected by this yoke, and it would loop under their necks and pull against their shoulders. So when they pulled, the weight of whatever they were pulling was against their shoulders. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, he wasn't saying, if you come to me and you accept my gift of salvation, you can just sit down and do nothing. I want you to hear that. Because, church, that's what we've taught people. If you believe in Jesus, accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you're saved, you're in, boom, you're done. There's no expectation of living out our faith. There's no expectation of working for kingdom things, trading in our today, trading in our comfort, trading in our resources and what God has given us, these temporary things. We have no idea, no thought of trading those in and working for kingdom eternal things. We just say, you come down, say a prayer, shake the preacher's hand, get dunked in the baptistry, boom, you're in. It's called easy believism, and it is destroying the church. Amen. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary laden, and I will give you rest from rules and regulation. Take my yoke upon you. Now here again, I want you to listen to this for just a second, and this may stretch some of you a little bit outside of what your understanding is. But when you're yoking oxen and you're training oxen, where I grew up, there was a man named Mr. Conway that had some oxen that my dad took me occasionally to watch them snake logs out of the woods with, a team of oxen. And as we talked about it, and later it just kind of interested me, and later on began to talk about, how do you train an oxen to do that? Well, you get an experienced oxen, and then you get a young oxen. You put the young oxen, yoke him with an experienced oxen that knows how to do, knows the commands, knows what he's expected of him, and you yoke him with him to walk through the woods with him, to work with him, and that old oxen would teach the young oxen what he was supposed to do. Jesus said, look, I want you to take my yoke upon you. I know God perfectly. I know him intimately. I know what he wants. I know what he desires. I know his love. And I want you to yoke yourself to me and do life with me. Yoke yourself to me and do life with me and learn from me. As you're going through life, as you're facing life struggles, as you're facing life circumstances, as you're facing life decisions, I want to teach you how to live life in such a way that God can bless you, that God can use you. That I want to teach you how to walk in relationship with God. He said, take my yoke upon you. And you don't put a yoke on to sit around in the barn. You put a yoke on to do work. You put a yoke on to get something accomplished. And while you're accomplishing it, you're learning it from this older oxen, this older, more experienced one. In this circumstance, it's Jesus. He says, look, you yoke up to me, let's do life together, and I'm going to teach you what it means to live in relationship with God. I'm going to teach you God's love. I'm going to teach you God's blessing. I'm going to teach you about God's power. I'm going to teach you about God's faithfulness. I'm going to teach you about how God can use you. I want to show you what it means to walk in step with God, because I know Him perfectly. I know Him intimately. I know Him inside and out. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden with rules and regulations and trying to earn your way to God. Look, you take your yoke upon you, my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your soul. He said, look, you want to know God? I want to introduce you to Him. You want to be right with God? I want to provide that for you. You hook up with me. You do life with me. You get in relationship with me, and I'll lead you to the Father. What was it Jesus said in John? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, look, hook up with me. Yoke up with me. Let's do life together, and I'll bring you to the Father. And you won't have to worry about keeping the rules. You won't have to worry about failing and messing up. Now, you're expected to work. What was it that James said? Faith without works is dead. Jesus said in another place, I believe it was in John 14, He said, "He who believes in Me, the works that I do, he will do also." So when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we enter into that relationship, we're yoked up with Him, we do life together with Him so that we can accomplish the works that God has for us to accomplish. But it's done through relationship. And let me give you another example. You're working in a job. Now, some of you younger folks may not understand it, but think about going to school. Or if you're young, go to school. If you're older and you're in a job, which is more enjoyable? Going to a job where you're in a relationship with other people and you know them and they know you and you like each other. Going to work's not such a bad deal, is it? It's kind of enjoyable. But have you ever been in a job where you just don't connect with anybody? And nobody really likes you and you don't really like anybody there. You're just there to get a paycheck. After a while, what happens? It gets really hard to get up in the morning and go to work, doesn't it? But when you're in a relationship, if you like your boss likes you. He cares about you and your family. He cares about your life outside of work. The people around you care about your family. You care about their family. You do life together and they care about you outside of work. When you go to that place, it's enjoyable to be there. You're working just like you were at the other place. But now it's enjoyable to get there. You get there and you work, and you like getting up in the morning to go into work. It's not a big deal. It's not a hassle because you're in relationship with the people you're working with. The same's true about Jesus. If we're in religion and we've got to go to work, I've got to come to church because dadgummit, God's going to get mad at me if I don't go to church. I done missed 3 Sundays in a row. I got to go this one. It's the last chance this month. If I don't go at least once a month, God's going to be mad at me. It's a hassle to go to church. By golly, if I don't tithe, man, God's going to be mad at me. It's a hassle to tithe. Man, if I don't forgive them, God's going to be mad at me. Dadgummit, I guess I got to forgive them. It's a hassle to forgive people because you're trying to keep the rules. You're trying to do religion. You're trying to make God happy. You're trying to measure up. But when you're in relationship with God, when you're doing life with God, it's much easier to forgive because you understand how much He's forgiven you. It's easier to tithe. It's not a hassle because you know that God's given you everything you've got and you can't outgive Him and what you need. He's already promised He'd supply your needs, and He's shown that in the past. He's been faithful. So it's no big deal to tithe because it's not a hassle. Because I know the One with whom I'm doing life with. John says it this way in 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God. This is how we know we love God. And this is what's produced when we love God. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not a burden. See, when we love God, when we're in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, when we're doing life with Him, and we're getting to know Him intimately, and we're spending time with Him, then doing what He says is not a big deal. Loving people becomes easier. Tithing becomes easier. Giving to those in need becomes easier. Sharing the gospel becomes easier. Loving on people that aren't very lovable becomes easier because I'm in relationship with God, and God is going to supply all my needs, and He's given me everything that I need for life and righteousness and godliness, and He's been faithful. And so because He loves me and I love Him, I just want to do what he says do, because He is always right. But see, religion, the rules become a hassle. Religion, work, is a lot like work. Coming to church is a lot like work. Giving is giving, not investing. See, Jesus said, look, I want you to trade religion for relationship with me. And in the relationship with me, we're going to do life together. And I'm going to introduce you to God. I'm going to let you know more about God. And I'm going to show you what it means to live in right relationship with Him. And I'm going to take all the burden of religion away from you. I'm going to give your soul rest. Because in religion, you're always wondering, well, have I done enough to be good? Does my good outweigh my bad? And you ask most anybody outside the Christian religion, how do you know if you're going to heaven? Well, if I do more good than I do bad. I'm going to tell you, I'd hate to try and keep up with that. I'd hate to try and keep up with that. Jesus said, look, you don't have to worry. I want your soul to rest. I want you to be at ease. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're in a right relationship with me, with God, because you have accepted His gift of salvation that I bought for you. And we're doing life together. Then He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm not here to guilt you into doing anything. I'm humble, I'm gentle, and I just want to see you flourish. And you'll find rest for your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy. Now that is a mistranslation, because most time when we say easy, we think effortless. I don't know if you've ever watched a yoke of oxen do anything, or if you think about it. When they start straining under a load, it's not easy. It's work. All throughout Scripture, Jesus said, being my disciple is work. God has a high expectation for us. But what the better translation for that is, my yoke is pleasant. One of the things about a yoke, when you harness a group of oxen up, or a team of oxen or mules together, if the yoke doesn't fit right, when they begin to lean into the weight, the yoke will twist up, and the corners of it will begin digging in the shoulders of the oxen. And as they're pulling, it begins to irritate those shoulders, and it becomes very uncomfortable. So they're trying to do the work, they're trying to do what you want them to, but they're so uncomfortable, it's so painful, it hurts because it doesn't fit right. Well, that's what religion does. It hurts. It's uncomfortable because it doesn't fit right. We're trying to strain against load. We're trying to do what's right. We're trying to keep the rules, and we're trying to not do what we're not supposed to do. We're trying to do what we're supposed to do. We're trying to earn our salvation. We're trying to earn God's favor, and we're just leaning into this, and it's just digging in, and it gets harder and harder, and eventually they'll just quit. They'll lay down because it hurts too much to try and pull the load. Jesus says, look, my yoke is pleasant. It fits perfectly. I'm going to pull with you. I'm going to teach you the voice of God. When He says, turn here, do this, go here, stay here, stop, go, right, left, gee, haul. For some of you folks that understand that. Jesus said, I want to teach you the voice of God. I want to teach you how to be in step with God. I want to teach you how to be obedient to God. And it's going to be pleasant as you do it, because we're in relationship together and God loves you. And I'm going to show you what it feels like to get in rhythm with God. And it's pleasant. My yoke is pleasant. And my burden is light. He says, look, I'm not expecting you to be perfect. I'm not expecting you to figure this out on your own. The weight of religion exhausts you. But a relationship with God gives you strength, gives you joy, gives you peace. You're carrying a heavy load, but it doesn't seem heavy. Because it's a joy. It doesn't seem heavy because Jesus is hooked up to that load with you. Jesus is going to be pulling right along beside you. Jesus is going to be helping you through this thing called life and the struggles and the strains that come with it. You don't have to face anything alone. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. His burden is light because He's going to be right there in the middle of it with you. You're going to be doing life together. So the yoke is pleasant. The burdens, still burdens, but they seem light because you don't have to carry them alone. And He's going to be there every step of the way, helping you honor God and glorify Him. John chapter 17, Jesus in His high priestly prayer begins it by saying, I have glorified the Father in this. I have accomplished everything He sent me to do. I have glorified the Father in this, and that I have accomplished everything He sent me to do. Church, if we want to glorify the Father, we do it by accomplishing what He sent us to do. And how do we accomplish that? How do we do it with joy? How do we trade temporary things for eternal things? How do we do this thing called Christianity? How do we do this thing called discipleship? We do it in relationship with Jesus. And we stay in step with Him. We follow Him. We learn from Him. And we can glorify our Father because we're going to accomplish what He sent us to accomplish if we're doing life with Jesus. Well, what has this got to do with us about investing in people? Well, first of all, I want you to hear this. We're not inviting people to keep the rules. The last thing anybody should ever hear from the church is, well, before you can come, you got to quit doing this, you got to quit doing this, you got to start doing this. That is so not what God called us to. We're to invite them to do the same thing that He's invited us to do. Get hooked up with Him and do life with Him. Walk with Him. Invite Him into your life. Enter into a relationship with Jesus because He's the one that bought your salvation. Accept that gift of salvation. Put His yoke upon you. And then walk through life with Jesus and let Him teach you what it means to be loved by God, to be used by God, to be in step with God. And let Him give you the strength and the ability to do it. Look, we're just inviting people to do life with Jesus. But we do that after we've invested in them. We accept them as they are. We don't expect them to know how to act all the time when they come to church. We don't expect them to always say the right things. We don't expect them to always do the appropriate things because they don't know Jesus yet. But we want to get involved in their life so that we can invite them to do life with Jesus as we do life with Jesus. Today, if you're here and, man, just doing the right thing is hard. If you're here and you feel like a failure when it comes to doing good, I want you to hear from Jesus today. Take my yoke upon you. It's not about the rules. It's about the journey. It's not about the rules. It's about relationship. And I'm going to be there. When you stumble, I'm going to pick you back up. When you don't hear the word or the voice of God, I'm going to listen for you and I'm going to bring you along. When you head off in the wrong direction, I'm going to let you go for a little while, but then I'm going to bring you back. If you're feeling like a failure, look, we've all messed up. In the church should be the place where nobody has any stones to throw because we know how bad we've messed up. I'm going to tell you, as your pastor, I'm just going to give you a heads up. I wasn't always a preacher. My mom and dad are here. They can attest. I ain't always been a preacher. I've made some journeys out in the left field. I've done some stupid stuff. I've messed up. But God always, always approached me with love and forgiveness. He said, come on, son. Come on, let's get back on track. And I'm going to tell you, I will never ever have a stone to throw at anyone. Because I promise you, there's nobody less deserving of God's love than me. So let's just invite people to do life with Jesus. And let's do life with Jesus ourselves. Forget about the rules and the regulations. The relationship will take care of that. Our obedience comes from our love for God. And the more we love God, the more we're going to be obedient. I had a pastor friend one time made a very profound statement. If you knew this guy, you'd be amazed at how profound this was from Don Phillips. Don said, look, when we were talking one day about you know, people not doing what they're supposed to and us not doing what we're supposed to, he said, look, Neil, it's not about, the problem is not we don't do enough. The problem is not we don't go to church enough. The problem is not we don't give enough. The problem is not we don't share the gospel enough. That's not the problem. The problem is we don't love God enough. Because if I love God, all these other things will become evident. They all are an outflow of our love for God. So if you want to do right, if you want to have faith, and you want to have more faith, you want to do right things, you want to do accomplish things for the kingdom, look, you don't focus on the things, you don't focus on the rules, you focus on your relationship with God. You say, God, help me love you more. And when you love God more, everything else becomes easy. We'll be obedient, and it won't be a burden because we love God. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for the love that you have so abundantly poured out on me. The love you have so abundantly poured out on all of us who call you our Father. And God, forgive us for how we have changed that love into rules and regulations. And God, we've made a relationship into a religion, and we're trying to get more people into a religion and to keep the rules and to do right and to act right when you just want us to invite them into relationship. God, I pray today that there's someone here in this very room under the sound of my voice that is struggling with this idea of doing things right and don't feel like they measure up. God, I pray that you would draw their heart to you today, that they would come to you, get yoked with you through the repentance from their sins and acceptance of your gift of salvation. Get yoked up with you in a relationship with you so that you can do life with them. And they can begin their journey with you. God, may we as a church, as a body of believers, your representatives in this place, God, may we represent you truthfully and faithfully. Not as a God who demands the keeping of the rules, but a God who desires relationship. And may we live in relationship with you so that we can accomplish what you've sent us to accomplish. Then one day we can hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And we can trade temporary things for eternal things. And we can experience the joy of your salvation even when we fail. God, we love you and praise you and ask your Holy Spirit to move in our midst today. Change us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand. We're going to sing. If you want to come down to the front and do business with the Lord, if you want to come speak with me and I can pray with you, I'd love to do that. You do business with God.